Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans, chapter 5, and we continue on in our series through the book of Romans. If you're a guest with us, we've been walking our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter through Romans for quite some time already. And we are still in chapter 5. In our last study from Romans, we read verses 12 through 21, and we'll be there again. We only considered verses 12 through 14. But verses 12 through 21 is to be considered as a section here. And we'll go ahead and read it again. But what we looked at last week was we talked about why things are the way that they are in this world. Hang on a second here. I'm getting a flag from our sound guy. Sorry about that. We talked about why things are the way that they are in this world. And, you know, just this last week, there was a tragic school shooting again where 17 people, souls, went out into eternity. And many others injured and so on. And we look at that sort of thing and it's just wickedness and it's horrifying. And the question needs to come to mind, why is this world the way that it is? And you know what? It's not getting better. As opposed to what, you know, the enlightened of our day want to say. The things are not getting better in this world. There's not more peace. There's not more righteousness. There's not more right doing. Listen, the way that things are in our world right now, it traces its source back to one thing. There's only one explanation. And we talked about last week how you know, the natural selection and survival of the fittest is not an explanation, a good explanation for why things are the way they are in this world. Listen, we see what happened last week on Wednesday in Florida. And now you hear, well, we've got to do something about this gun violence. And you know, we should do something. We should do something. But we don't have a gun problem in our country. We have a heart problem, a sinful heart problem. We have a culture problem. Listen, in all of those, I want to tell you this. This is a rabbit I'm going to chase here before we get going this morning. All of this talk about gun control, all of this talk about eliminating the access and so on to guns, and that's going to solve the problem. It's never going to solve the problem of the heart. And really, this old talk about gun control, it's not about saving lives. That's what they'll put out in front of you, but it's not about saving lives. It's about people control. That's what it's about. They say, well, we don't have this problem. They don't have this problem anywhere else in the world except for in the United States of America. And number one, that's not true. But you know what else they don't have in any other place in the world? The possibility of citizenry being able to defend themselves against tyranny. That's what they don't have in the rest of the world either. We don't have a gun problem. We have a wicked, sinful heart problem. We've got a culture problem. And listen, if all of this talk was really about saving lives, then you know what they'd be talking about? They'd be talking about banning abortion. They would be talking about banning alcohol in our country. Do some research. You'll find that the statistics for alcohol-related deaths is, I mean, far, far, far surpasses deaths related to gun violence. But we don't see them calling for the ban of alcohol in our country, do they? Why? Because it's people control. You can control people who are in a drunken stupor. Just keep giving them their alcohol. It's not about saving lives. That's rabbit number one. I don't know how many we'll chase today. We might chase a few. But all I'm saying is the explanation for our world is a heart problem. And we found that in these verses. We read verses 12 through 14, and the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's the explanation right there for why the world is the way that it is. Sin entered into this world because of one man named Adam. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just let me make a clarifying statement. On Wednesday night, I referenced how there was a report of 18 school shootings already this year. Many networks were broadcasting that. Turns out that those numbers are not exactly true. Those are numbers that the gun control activists like to put out there to try to put fear in the people. That's a clarifying statement. Nevertheless, there's a problem. But it's a heart problem. It's a sin problem. It's a culture problem. You don't see them banning these video games that glorify killing. I couldn't believe this. I'm not in the video game world, but when I heard that there are video games out there that actually give you bonus points for raping women, and then whatever you do on your game, you come back and then you finish them off by killing them. You get bonus points for that. I was appalled. I was shocked. I'm like, you wonder why there's a problem in our country? It's a culture problem. Hollywood and video games and all kinds of things glorify this, desensitizes people to the reality of death, and there's no value in human life anymore. Rabbit number two. It should be irritating. It should be disgusting. It should be heartbreaking. Sin is the problem. We learned that Adam, the father of all humanity, he sinned against God. And as a result of sin, the whole world was plunged into darkness. And Adam's sin, listen, Adam's one sin had dire, dire consequences to the whole of humanity. As we move on in this chapter, we're going to see, though, praise the Lord, what Adam gave away, Jesus Christ has bought back. And what Adam failed in and how he greatly failed, Jesus Christ has greatly prevailed. This passage that we're about to read is somewhat difficult to understand, and when we read it here this morning, it might seem a little confusing or fuzzy. And I kind of struggled with that initially as I read through and studied, and it really made the verses hard to outline. But as we study through this, we start to see that what really develops is that there is a series of contrasts that the Apostle Paul gives. And really what he's doing in these passages, in these verses, is trying to show the difference between what mankind has received in Adam and what mankind can receive in Jesus Christ. There's a great contrast between two men in these verses. Verse 14 sort of triggers that and sends us in that light, because Paul says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And he talks about Adam here, who is the figure of him that was to come. Paul transitions here in his thought and he's saying, just like Adam did this, and he's a representative of mankind, here is Jesus Christ. Adam is a type of Christ. He's similar, but he's not the same. And so he's going to go on and make these contrasts here, all right? So let's read through this passage here, and then we'll get into breaking them down here this morning. The title of the message, just as it was last week, is Death in Adam, Life in Christ. Let's read in verse 12 again. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. What he's saying is sin has always been around since the time of Adam. Even from Adam to Moses, before there was ever a law, sin was there. And the proof of that is the fact that people died. All men died. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, even over those who hadn't purposely, on purpose, knowingly broken the law of God. They still died. Sin was present, and death is the proof of that. And then he says, who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to talk to you about death in Adam and life in Christ. And again, there are some great contrasts that are given in this passage, a series of them. And Paul is trying to show the readers here that the great difference there is between what mankind has received in Adam and what mankind can receive in Jesus Christ. And he says Adam is a figure of him that was to come. There's some similarities between Adam and Christ, but they don't go that deep. They're actually contrasting. There are three great contrasts that are mentioned here. When I began to start to break these down and take it apart, they have the idea and the understanding that the contrasts are presented here. It really helped untangle these verses for me. And I want to tell you this morning that these verses that we've read, they really comprise the central theme of the book of Romans, because everything up to this point has been working toward this right here. Everything after this works out away from it. The whole theme is centered right here in Jesus Christ and the difference between Christ and between Adam. What Adam brought to the human race, Jesus Christ has done away with and given so much more. Where Adam failed, Jesus Christ has prevailed. And so I want to take some time this morning to look at these contrasts that are presented in these verses as we consider death in Adam and life in Christ. First of all, number one, there are two people that are contrasted. Verses 17 to 19 demonstrate this for us. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now notice as we read here, you'll see the words by one several times. And it's a contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ. The very next verse says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Do you see that? All that there. You see that word, by one, given several times. Two people are contrasted here. And to help us to see this a little bit clearer, it's helpful for us to understand this. That of the 40 billion people, if that number is true, who've ever lived in this world, God really looks at humanity and sees us in our relationship to two men, Adam and Jesus Christ. Now, God is a personal God, and He has a personal relationship with each and every one. But in the whole context of the whole of humanity, God views us and sees us in relationship to two men, Adam and Jesus Christ. This is the essence of the verses that we've read here in our text. And what we need to understand is that Adam did something back in the Garden of Eden that affected the entire human race and plunged the entire human race into sin. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam did something that affected the entire human race, the whole of humanity. But Jesus also did something on the cross of Calvary that affected all of mankind. Therefore, when you boil it all down, the whole story of the human race can be summed up in terms of what has happened because of Adam and what has happened and will happen because of Jesus Christ. We also need to know that we are in one or the other this morning, you and I. Either you're in Adam and death and sin reign over you, or you're in Jesus Christ. To be an Adam is to be a partaker of all that he brought to the human race, which is death and which is sin. And rather, sin and death. But to be in Christ is to be a partaker of all the gifts that he gave to humanity. And it's important to understand the difference between these two and how they affect the human race. And so I want to look at each one. Let's notice what Paul reveals about Adam and about Jesus Christ in these verses. First of all, consider Adam the sinner. Look at verse 19, the first part. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." This verse tells us that Adam was disobedient to God. It means that Adam went against the very command of God and committed sin. What was God's command? Back in Genesis chapter 2, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else you have access to, everything else you can eat of, there's only one in the center of the garden. Don't do that. That was a command of God. Would we all agree? Adam only had one job. You got one job, Adam. But the Bible says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Adam went against the very command of God and committed sin. But then look at verse 15. Note this, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Note this here. This verse tells us that the sin that Adam committed was an offense. It was an offense to God. He crossed a line that God had drawn, and he on purpose, deliberately disobeyed, and it was an offense to God. When Adam sinned, his sin didn't just affect him, it also affected you and me. Because verse 12 of our text says, "That death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so what we see, that Adam the sinner transgressed against the Lord, and he brought sin to every human being. Understand this. People would say, "Oh yeah, you know I've got sin in my life." Everybody does. But what does it say about Adam's disobedience? What was that to God? It was an offense to God. And if Adam's sin plunged the entire human race into sin, and all of us are sinners, and we have sin in our life, what does that mean? We're an offense to God too. Are you with me here? My sin is an offense to God. Your sin is an offense to God. It's not a light thing to God. People want to pass it off and laugh it off because everybody's doing it. But death came into this world because of sin, and death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. It's not a light thing. It's an offense to God. This is why the Bible says in order for there to be salvation, there must be repentance toward God. God, I've offended you because of my sin. I'm sorry for who I am and for my sin. Change my mind. There's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ because of our offense. But notice, that's Adam the sinner. He disobeyed. His sin was an offense. But verse 19 gives us the contrast. In the second part of verse 19, we read, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." This verse tells us that Jesus Christ acted differently than Adam did. While Adam disobeyed the will of God and the command of God, Jesus obeyed the will of God, his Father, and he gave his life a ransom for sin. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. You see the contrast and the difference here. While Adam disobeyed, Jesus Christ obeyed, and it affected the entire human race. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5 with me, please. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'll be back here, by the way, this afternoon in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue, every knee, it affects the entire human race, is obedience to the will of God the Father, bought back everything that Adam lost when he sinned. While Adam brought sin and death to all humanity, it was the death of Jesus Christ that opened up the door of eternal life to whosoever will. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Adam brought sin and death to all humanity, it was the death of Jesus Christ that opened up the door of eternal life to all humanity. And the contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, it can't be missed here this morning. The death that Adam brought to mankind, Jesus did away with. Everything that Adam gave away in the Garden of Eden, Jesus purchased back on the cross. Verse 15 of our text, go there. Look at verse 15 again. Verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. This tells us that what Jesus did was so much more than what Adam did. You see, Adam sinned one sin, and it brought death to all man. But Jesus Christ died one death, and it brought the opportunity for life to all. When Jesus died on the cross, listen, it was his blood that paid for all the sins of mankind. Sins of every man who's ever lived, or ever will live. Now this, of course, only becomes effective for those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ and believe in his finished work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 says, for as in Adam, if you're in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. I think the difference in what these two men did is very clear. You see the contrast? But secondly, I want you to note that there are two powers that are contrasted here. In our text, not only are two people contrasted, but two powers. Look with me at verse 17. For as by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The word reign here, it means rule or dominion. All right? And there's a contrast here between this rule and this dominion. He says because of Adam, there was the reign of sin and death, or the rule or dominion of sin and death. But because of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, there's the rule or the reign, the dominion of life. Consider the reign of judgment and death. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. That phrase might seem a little bit confusing, but basically what it means, where it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, it basically means that they're similar, but they're not the same. In other words, the gift is not like the transgression. It's similar in that it came by one, but it's not the same thing. Does that make sense? Verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We see the reign of judgment and death here. It tells us that because of Adam's sin, many be dead. This thought is carried even farther when you get into verses 16 and 18. Notice the word judgment and the word condemnation and the word death in these verses. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Here the Apostle Paul tells us that because Adam sinned, every man is doomed to die. But not only is he doomed to die, every man is also condemned. It means that we already stand under the wrath of God over sin. John chapter 3, go over there with me. John chapter 3 and verse 36. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In other words, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've not been truly born again and saved, repented of your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ and have this personal relationship with him that truly converts and changes your life, he says you're not going to see life, but the wrath of God abides on you. The bottom line is that the end result of Adam's trespass in the garden means eternity in the lake of fire for all men, for all have sinned. And that's a horrible thing, but it's nonetheless true. And you know, it's bad enough to be condemned, but I want you to go to our text and look at verse 20. Romans 5 and verse 20. Verse 20 says, moreover, on top of that, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Here he says that because the law of God was given, we can actually see how wicked and sinful we are. Men are already sinners by nature, certainly. But when the law came in, it added specific transgressions to breaking God's laws. Now, before the law was there, people broke the laws of God, and they broke the law of God that was written in their heart. They sinned. But when the law of God entered, what does it say? It entered that the offense might abound. Now, because the law of God, it came, it added specific transgressions, and we can look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and we can actually see how wicked and sinful we are. The law, like a great big mirror, you know, the kind of mirror that you look in every day, and women spend a lot of time in front of it looking at their face. And they notice imperfections. They notice blemishes. They notice spots. They notice wrinkles. They notice all of these things because of the mirror that they're staring into. The law of God, the Word of God, is like a great big mirror. It points out every imperfection. It displays all of our wretchedness in very glaring detail of how sinful we are, that we've broken the commands of God. We're sinners. This is the power or the dominion that all men are under in their natural state, my friend. It doesn't matter how important or wealthy a person is. It doesn't matter how intelligent a person is. It doesn't matter what position they hold, if they think they're elite or not. It matters not what my truth is. You ever heard that? In our culture, in our world, in religion, well, it's my truth, and you've got your truth, and we all have our own truth, and we're all going the same place. It doesn't matter what my truth is. If anybody is outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, then they're already dead, already condemned. Look at John chapter 3 again. Hold your place here. John 3 and verse 18. Jesus said these words, "He that believeth on Him, which is Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In our natural state, we're condemned already to bear the weight and the punishment for our own sin and in an eternity in the lake of fire. And we could read over in Revelation chapter 20. We did that last week, where the Bible says, "Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, a lake of fire which it burneth with fire and brimstone." It's the judgment of God. It's the second death. It's final separation from God. That's a terrible, terrible condition to be in. This is the power and the dominion that many millions around this world are in, lost and headed to a devil's hell. They're living under the power and the judgment of death. Let me ask you the question this morning. How about you? There are two dominions that are contrasted here. One is judgment and death, the reign of judgment and death. We're either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Adam, there's judgment and there's death. But I want you to note with me the reign of justification and life. By contrast, go back to our text in Romans 5. This very same verse, verse 17, tells us that Jesus Christ offers a far different dominion, not one of judgment and death. Look at verse 17 again. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Here is the reign of justification and life. While the sin of Adam brings death and brings devastation and damnation, it's the gift of Jesus Christ that brings life and liberty and justification. What a difference Jesus Christ makes. In Adam, we're judged. In Christ, we're justified. In Adam, we die. In Jesus Christ, we live. In Adam, we face the wrath of God. But in Jesus Christ, we enjoy the love of God. In Adam, we're the servants of sin and Satan. But in Jesus Christ, hey, we're the sons of God. What a difference Jesus Christ makes. Can you see the contrast? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You lived according to his will. "Among whom also we all had our conversation," or our lifestyle, "in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, understand this. It is being in Jesus Christ that makes all the difference in life. Go back to our text in Romans, and I want you to look at verse 20 again. Romans 5 and verse 20, the second part of it. And Paul tells us that the lost sinner, listen, he's under a mountain of sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look at this. This is awesome. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul tells us that lost sinners are under a mountain of sin. And he tells us that sin abounded. The word abound here, you know, see how many times it's used, right? In verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's used three times, but you know what? It's not the same word. Follow me. The first, abound, it means to make be more. It means to increase. It's in relationship to sin, right? So look at it again. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It means to increase, to make be more. It carries the meaning of addition, adding to. In other words, there's a pile of sin that you have and that I have that is being constantly added to. Every time we sin, it's being added to. There's a whole pile of it, and it's growing day by day, and it's pressing down the weight. And one day, listen, we're going to face the wrath of God for that sin if we don't know Jesus Christ. However, I want you to look at the contrast. Notice here, but where sin abounded, where sin was added up, it's piling up, grace did much more abound. Listen, where there was a mountain of sin that existed, grace did much more abound. This word abound, it means, it's a different word altogether, and it means to superabound, above measure, it means to overflow. The first word speaks of addition. One sin added to another, but the second word speaks of multiplication. You remember how back in the other verses where it says much more than what Jesus Christ, much more than where sin was adding on top of each other and there was a pile of sin, grace did much more abound, it superabounded, it overflowed, it was multiplied. Multiplication is far greater than addition. God's grace was multiplied over and over and over and over again in this sinner's life. Simply stated, once I was being crushed under a mountain of sin to face the judgment of God, but now, in Jesus Christ, oh, I stand in a mountain of grace. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Wow! Once being crushed by a load of sin, adding on top of each other, piling up, but now in Christ, His grace is multiplied over and over and over again. And I stand in a mountain of His grace. far greater than my sin. What does that mean? Because of Adam's sin, a huge problem exists for mankind that brings death to every man. But because of Jesus Christ, there's far more grace available to overcome it. What does that mean? It means this, my friend. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you come from. There is no sin that is too great for God's amazing grace. We can't have the excuse, I'm just too bad. I can't possibly be saved. You don't know what I've done. You're right. I don't know what you've done. But God does. But that's no excuse for God, because His grace did much more abound. Multiplied, overflowed. There's no sin that's too great. If a person says, oh, I'm too bad, I can't get saved. Listen, it's because they don't want to, not because it's not available to them. Where sin abounds, grace does much more super abound. Thank God there's a difference between Jesus Christ and Adam. Amen. Can you see the difference? Lastly, I want you to consider with me, and very quickly, not only are there two people contrasted in this text, not only are there two powers contrasted, but we also see two possibilities that are contrasted. In verse 21 of our text, the Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what the two possibilities are there that are contrasted? The first part of verse 21 says, but there's a possibility of the penalty of sin. Sin's reigned unto death. If a person chooses to reject the free offer of eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, then that person is going to face the penalty for their sin, which is death, which is separation from God for all eternity. To refuse to come to Jesus Christ when He is offering a free gift is to choose to remain condemned for all eternity. There's a possibility of that. But the second part of verse 21 says there's a possibility of conversion. Even so, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us here that there's also the possibility of salvation. If a lost sinner will just simply trust Jesus Christ by faith. This is what Paul has talked about all the way up to this point. He'll be saved. He'll be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll have eternal life. And a guarantee that heaven is your home when you leave this life. Two possibilities. You can be in Adam. You can be in Jesus Christ. In Adam, I'll die. But even so, in Christ, there's eternal life. It's very easy to see that Jesus Christ makes the difference. But let's make the application as we close here. Which of these two possibilities is true for you? It all depends on whether you're in Adam or whether you're in Jesus Christ. In Adam, then you're not saved. There's nothing but the judgment and the wrath of God. In Christ, if you've trusted in Christ and you're in Him, listen, you've already passed from death unto life. Amen. Everything is waiting for you, including eternal life. The question that needs to be faced, though, is this. Who are you in this morning? My friend, have you gotten out from under the mountain of sin that's adding up? Do you stand in God's grace? Either you're a slave to sin and death, or you've been raised and pass from death unto life in Christ. Which is it? I'm sure glad that there's a difference between Adam and Jesus Christ. pray. Heavenly Father, accomplish your purpose and your will in every heart. There may be some that you're calling today. They've never really understood what repentance means. Never really understood what it truly means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and known the forgiveness of sin and the change of life that comes in knowing Jesus Christ. Lord, would you draw those people to yourself today that they can pass from death unto life. Be no more in Adam, but be alive in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.